Hello everybody, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated July 17th, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how you doing this week, Asclepius?
Oh, I'm doing real well, thanks, Lord Baldrith. Having a wonderful time and looking forward to a bit of quality gaming on the weekend. And how's yourself?
Yes, I'm happy it's the weekend, glad to be done with the long work week, and I am also looking forward to some serious gaming, because I've got a lot more testing to do, so it's fun stuff.
Oh, it sure is, and it gets more and more fun every time. I've been doing a little bit of more crafting, and the other night I ran through a whole heap of animal hides. Honestly, you run through them so quickly. It's unbelievable. I thought I'd make myself a few extra pair of leggings. And the first few times didn't go too well, because I had the critical failures. So yeah, this didn't work, but if you put some more wax in it, you will pull it out of the fire. Yeah, okay, that's great, thanks. But one occasion I got a critical success, and that was lovely. So I ended up with a pair of pants that make me strong and smart.
Well, that's a nice pair of pants. It makes me wonder on those critical failures, even though you're adding a piece of wax, what kind of pants are you ending up with? They got holes in them, or are they too short, or what is it?
No, they're the standard pair of pants. I mean, they would be the pair of leggings pants that you would get if nothing happened. So you just get a nice pair of leather leggings. So they're not super. They don't have holes in them, but they're just standard. But if you didn't put a pair of wax in it, you'd lose everything.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if you just say, ah, oh, never mind, I'll just give up and try again, do you lose all your leather and everything?
Yes, I believe you would. Yeah, you'd lose all the ingredients, and that all go wherever failed ingredients go.
Over to Never Never Land, I know they were talking about adding some kind of a substance for failure, you know, some powder or something you can maybe do something with, but right now it's kind of just disintegrates, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it's just a pile of dust that you sweep off the top of your crafting table. Which, oh dear, that didn't work. Let's try it again.
And you think, I guess I'd better kill another 30 bears and we'll try again.
That's right. So yeah, but it's nice to have some clothing, some outfits that actually boost your stats significantly, and it's so pleasing to be able to walk around the land and kick some serious butt.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going all the way down to the fourth level of dungeons and kind of taking out the whole crowd, so I can imagine that's only gotten better now since you've upgraded your pants.
Well, I haven't been down to the mines yet. I haven't been back there. But I've been doing a bit of leveling at the Spectral Foothills. And that's a great place. I mean, that is a target-rich environment. You just walk around. There are skeletons everywhere. Well, they get you 800 experience points each. The wizards will get you about 1,500, I think. An obsidian wolf will get you maybe 1,500. The zombies are wonderful. They get you 2,000. And then you have the ebon cultists. They're tough, but doable. And on one occasion, just one, I walked into their little enclave and took them all out solo.
Wow. There was a lot of them?
There was a lot of them. Thankfully, I was carrying some focus potions, because you do run out of focus. So quickly gulp a focus potion. I've got another 42 or so points back, and fight on.
Do you have your potions on a static bar, or do you have them mixed in with your rotation?
Yes, I know what you're saying. I have them mixed in, but I have assigned them, as well as a few other protective things, into slot number 6. So that's where they're going to come up.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of what I was wondering. I've tried using potions, and it's It's kind of aggravating to wait for them to come up like your heels, so it's like, I'd love to have just a place where potions are, like a quick access belt or something. I'm hoping they'll think about that.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be great to have a quick access belt like that. But yeah, I've got a few things like Strength of Earth. Now that gives you a boost of 10 or so to strength for another 20 seconds. So you really lay into people. And Air's Embrace, that boosts your dexterity for a similar period. Enlightenment boosts your intelligence for a similar period. So I've got one of each of those, plus a healing touch, and plus focus potion. They're all going to appear in slot number 6.
Very cool. I thought they said they were going to make a potion that cures that plague that the zombies cast. Have they put that in game yet?
That I don't know. That would be so nice. Although I'm using Purify. That's a wonderful spell. It doesn't take much focus. And that's locked in position number 2. So it's always available.
That's a good idea. If you're poisoned or you're plagued, you'll want to get that straightened out right away.
Oh, that's right. Although it only takes about 1 or 2 points off you at a time. But it's just one of those things that keeps happening. So yeah, before too long, you want to do something about it.
Yeah, 1 or 2 points on my mage is pretty hurtful because I don't think he's got much more than 100 of those.
Oh, yeah, that has to hurt.
Yeah, I've got him at 52 intelligence, but his strength is still at wherever it started, and so is the dex. So, yeah, his hit points are a little low.
Ooh. Yeah, 52 intelligence, that's pretty impressive. He must be able to cast some serious magic.
Yeah, I'm actually doing 110 damage with my ice arrow every so often. And mostly it's, you know, 10 or 12 damage, but it's lovely to see that 110 damage come up.
Oh, that's a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you really did a good job on that one. I wonder what happened with that other one.
That's great. Yeah, maybe I better not face off against you.
Well, knowing my luck, all your great armor and stuff would make my arrows bounce off.
I don't know. I've got another. I'm using one light armor skill. It's called Dodge. And that increases your defense resistance by 25. I don't know how much that works against magic, though.
Oh, yeah. I would wonder if dodge... You would think that would dodge spells or attacks, you'd think.
You'd think so. I mean, I use it... That's another thing I have coming up in slot 6. So all the protective things and the helpful things, they rotate through there. And when that comes up, I hit it. And it does certainly seem to help. I mean... You're standing there with a few Ebon cultists around you, and I seem to be able to survive pretty well.
Yeah, if you've got more than 2 of those guys hitting on you, you're going to go down. So, yeah, that's good you found a way to survive.
Oh, well, this is one wonderful thing about the game. There are so many permutations and combinations, and people will find all sorts of interesting little things, and everybody's going to do it differently, and that's great.
Well, that's half the fun. If there's a lot of different ways to accomplish the same goal, then that's the fun of combat, you know, than just having one master plan that everybody uses.
Well, that's right. And then it's a never-ending quest or challenge to pit yourself against other people, as the PvPers love to do.
Yeah, that's for sure. They love that challenge, and you'll get that challenge even more with a real player than you will with some sort of a creature in the game.
Yep, that's right. Oh, well. But it's great fun, and it's awesome to see the things developing. And it's a wonderful feeling of satisfaction to see your skills increasing and to be a little more powerful and not be afraid of the liches or the ghosts or the bigger creatures like that. I'm not so sure about the trolls.
Yeah, I have a feeling the trolls are going to be a little more than everything we've seen so far.
That's for sure. But it's going to be exciting to see them.
I'm definitely going to try to take one down. I do not back away from...
Yeah, me too. I mean, it might be a case of hit and run. And hopefully I can run faster than he can.
Yeah, hopefully that first hit isn't your last, so you can get the chance to run away.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I know they're running and hit. They said they're going to knock you down and stuff, so it might be tough.
It might, yes. I mean, I might be able to run in and hit him once or twice, then run off and then come back and do that sort of thing.
Right, it's the whole kiting system is usually the only way you can handle those bosses.
That's right, yeah.
I like it, though. I'm kind of happy they're putting in, you know, some other kinds of creatures that take a little more challenge and a little more thought to destroy.
Oh, that's for sure, yes. Yeah, I think the more variety, the better. And ultimately, we'll have dragons.
Yeah, and I'll bet you dragons will make trolls look easy, so that'll be fun, too.
Yes, probably will.
Hopefully they don't have dragons that have, or trolls that have pet dragons or something like that.
Oh, now wouldn't that be scary? Yes.
I'd say that'd be a pretty rough battle. Oh, man.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't mind if I had a pet dragon, too.
Now, that's the only way it would be fair. If I had my dragon, I could just kind of sick on him, and then I can shoot him while he's keeping the aggro. I'd love that. As it stands, my elementals don't keep the aggro, so I'm hoping for a better creature.
It is great fun. Absolutely.
Not for sure.
Okay, well, I suppose we should get on to the news.
Yeah, lots of news this week. Good stuff.
Okay, update of the Avatar number 134. We have a Batten disease drive, Obsidian architecture, pledge merge split countdown, NBNN interviews star, we have a Tantalus town guide, we have trees, and we have more. Brilliant. And firstly, we have architecture of the Obsidians. Now this looks really, really lovely.
That's beautiful.
It's a continuation of a forum post by Scotty Jones, and it says, having created the primary building blocks for the large outer walls, I'm now moving forward with sets of smaller items I can use to decorate the scenes I'll later be creating. Lovely. And that others can use to add hints of obsidian architecture to regions of the world that may have been touched by them. Lovely. And here we have some items that we'll need, and don't they look brilliant?
I'm still hoping we can maybe grab a chair like that or some statues that look like that for our house. That'd be really cool.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Lovely. And we have a few larger building block elements for use with the exterior map areas as the underground. And here we have some barracks with an accessible guard tower. That looks very menacing, doesn't it?
It does, with the spikes on it and everything. Yeah, and I like those doors that are kind of pointy. That's just neat looking.
It is for sure. It just helps to give a sense of the overall, I don't know, evilness or power of the obsidian culture. It's going to be fascinating to explore this section of lore.
Oh, yeah, kind of like, you know, that when we first went into the tower, that was quite an experience, because that was a dangerous place.
It sure was. I got a feeling these might be dangerous places, too.
Yeah, probably even more dangerous, because now we've got some up-and-coming creatures to put in there.
Yeah. And here we have a section of the Chamber of Souls. Wow, very nice. And the same items as seen in the game editor, put on a test map. Gee, that looks pretty impressive.
Yeah, it almost looks like a meeting room. It's pretty cool.
It does, doesn't it?
Wow. I like the chandelier too, and that nice touch.
It's lovely. So those are some of the things that are coming, and they are really beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, always love new scenery.
And, of course, he says, as they say, the devil's in the details. These spaces are all bare bones and empty until I finish a few more details, additions, and decorations. So Scotty's working really hard on this, but look, from what it appears so far, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it will be. I hope they some of it makes it into R20 so we can see it real quick.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's some interesting news that everybody would do well to take note of. From Star, I think, or from the team as a whole. As many of you know, we have a very complicated pledge reward structure, and it's probably giving everybody headaches. So backers with the same pledge tier get different rewards based on when they're backed, like, you know, Royal Founder and Benefactor and all that sort of stuff. And with the announcement last week of certain pledge and reward expirations, that complication just increased by an order of magnitude, or maybe several orders of magnitude. And then over the rest of the year, there will be even more pledge and reward expirations, making it much more difficult to track which backer gets which rewards at which tiers. So, because it's getting more complicated and it's going to cost them a lot in time and money and effort to manage all of this, they no longer believe it is a good use of our backers' funds to continue offering pledge splits or merges after the end of summer reward expirations. So what that essentially means is there's a 1 month countdown. You got through the 17th of August. So if you have a pledge at the moment, if you want to split it into two pledges, if you want, let's say for argument's sake, you've got a Lord pledge, you say, I think I'd like to split that to a knight and a citizen or something like that. You could do that. Or you want to merge a pledge. You've got a knight and a citizen, you want to merge it into a Lord pledge. It's going to get horrendously complicated, especially as they're getting closer to launch, and there's so much work, there's so much for them to try and keep track of. Well, okay, they are giving advance notice. Up until August 17th, great. After that, no, I'm sorry, it's too late, we can't do it.
So, like, if you want to try to buy a founder, a Royal Founder account to merge with yours to make it founder status, that last day on that is August 17th, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Yes. Yeah. And it sounds to me like when they're doing their monthly release cycles. Star was talking about this. The first 3 weeks of the cycle, they throw in new data and new content and everything, and a week before the release, they go into lockdown. And the last couple of releases have been pretty good. They've kept to it. And so a week out from release, they lock it down. They say, right, no more new stuff. Let's just work on the stuff we've got and make it run and make it work and get all the bugs out and make it run properly. Okay. You could look at this as a lockdown. Pledges can go back and forth and carry on, and you can merge your pledge, you can split it, you can do whatever you like, but August the 17th is lockdown. Whatever pledge you've got, that's it.
Yep, which is, in a way, you can understand why they're doing it, because they're trying to get all of our rewards, our physical rewards, out to us, you know, pretty soon. So they got to get this thing figured out.
That's right. And as they said, it's going to be an enormous job to work out who gets what. Richard has to sign about 30,000 things, I think.
No, so no.
He's going to have a lot of work. And they just have to get some element of sanity into it and say, okay, because Alpha and Beta are coming up, because release is coming up, and there's a scary thought. That's lovely. We've got to get this organized. So we are going to call a lockdown on pledges. And they said they will continue to transfer whole pledges. So if you want to transfer a whole pledge in its entirety from one account to another, okay, you could do that. But not partial pledges and not mergers and not splits.
It makes sense to me. I don't understand why there's any grief over that, because it's just, you know, part of the process of getting the game launched.
Well, I agree. I think it is part of the process, and they're just going to have to do it. And you don't want to be still trying to sort out who gets what and everything as they're trying to wheel the game out the door. It needs to be done, dusted, locked down, and they can get on with finishing the game.
Yeah, plus we see some light at the end of the tunnel for actually getting all of our physical rewards. We've been really excited to get those.
Oh, that's for sure. Yes. Yeah, very nice. So, look, I think it'd be good if we can try to see this as good news. Anybody who has a pledge, that's great. You can still upgrade it, I believe. But whatever rewards you have, let's lock them down, let's get it organized, and we can start shipping physical goods out to people, and that's an indication that the game is getting closer.
Yeah, we're still hoping it gets released by the end of the year, and if it does, then I owe you $5.
Yeah. the last of the big gamblers. That'll be good.
I know, huh? It reminds me of Trading Places. $1.
Yes, that's right. But, alrighty. Now, moving along, we have Do You Have a Public Cache Chest Quest? Now, those chests look rather nice, don't they?
They're beautiful. I love my chest.
Ah, you've got one. Awesome.
Yeah, I've got two. I told you I'm a pack rat.
You've been in the add-on store again.
It's a dangerous place.
I know. Oh, I think I might have to get one as well. Okay. But yes, Lord British said he began to see the amazing creativity of the community and the creation of quests. And as he says, the players created this. The developers didn't even think of it. The players just went and did it. And that is just awesome. And players had to stand up in real time to be waypoints. And live players had to take or give away items. So they thought, well, okay, there must be a better way. And this better way is the chest. And we have writable books and notes. We have chest permissions. So you can have a chest and you can, anybody can put something in the chest or take it out. And you can create a quest with it. So that is awesome. Said all of these notes and case chests must be left on a player-owned lot at the moment, and all treasures must be stocked by the owner as well, but it's the first step in creating a tool for a powerful player-created quest. Great.
That makes me wonder. They say it's got to be on your lot for now. It's almost like they're trying to get that to work on public land as well.
Now, that would be good, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, because you can park a chest almost anywhere. And this is part of the quest. Go and find that chest, find something that's in it, or put something in it, and it'll be very much like geocaching.
Especially, it'd be cool if you could bury it or something. You know, I'd take your shovel. It'd be fun.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, the game is developing in all sorts of directions that I think the developers never anticipated.
Yeah, the people in the game are actually coming up with ideas they didn't think about, which is really awesome.
It is. And we have here Duke Gregor started an event forum thread asking community members to post their public cache chest quests. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 already. By himself, by Kendrick Darrow, by Leonard, by Alexander, and by Spoon. So people are jumping right into this.
Yeah, I know some people that are actually, they've got their cache out, like on their fence, and every so often mail gets delivered to it, like flyers and stuff. It's really cool.
That is wonderful. So, look, there could be a mail delivery system in the game. There could be messengers in the game. You know, you can be paid to take goods from here to there. There are just so many possibilities.
Yeah, imagine somebody can say, hey, can you just deliver all these books for me and I'll pay you 100 gold? You know, it'd be a way to make money, too.
Sure it would. That's right. I know. I found last night, after I was bashing up everybody in Spectral Foothills, I came back, and after I bought another load of reagents, yeah, I was sort of running cash negative.
That's easy to do.
Oh, yeah. Because I was knocking off a lot of those Ebon cultists, and they only give you about 15 gold each, so it's not a lot. And they don't give you a weapon that you can sell.
Oh, that's no good.
I know.
Sure, what are they fighting with? Their hands?
Yeah, you'd think the champions should have a weapon, because they have a sword and a shield.
At least a sword or a shield, or maybe even a breastplate or something. I don't know.
Well, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, and it takes a long time to knock off those champions. But when you finally get them down, they've got a bit of gold in their pocket, and that's it.
They're about the same as the ruffians and stuff, huh?
Yeah, that's about right, yes. So yeah, you come back to town, totally depleted of reagents, go to the guy at the magic shop, buy a whole lot, and you think, wow, I'm worse off than when I started.
Yeah, you almost are forced to fight the skeletons and even the bears. They give you that sweet, which is worth a lot of money on the little vendor there, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard to make money in this release, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. Yes. But you're right, as you say, at least the skeletons drop their weapons and their necromantic essence. So you can sell that.
Yeah, my poor mage can't carry more than, you know, 6 or 7 weapons before he's going to go back to town.
Oh, that's right, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. You need a pack animal.
That would be awesome. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, it'd be lovely to have my little mule, you know, that I could, you know, stay here longer and not have to leave.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yes. Yeah, that poor old stretch goal hasn't done very much lately, I don't think.
I know, that's the easiest one to do. All we need is 100,000. Come on, we can do it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, look, I hope they get in eventually. But anyway, here we are, next one. We have an NBN in interview with Star-Lorne. And that is awesome. I haven't seen it all, unfortunately. I tried to get time to watch it this week. I watched a good part of it. But it's really well done. And I think everybody should jump in and watch that one.
Yeah, I've just heard about it. I haven't physically watched the whole thing, but I've just heard they're adding some really exciting things to combat. So I really hope that makes it into release 20 so we can try it out.
Oh, would be great. And as it says here, they're talking about a wide range of subjects ranging from chaotic philosophy. I found that really interesting. That was great. To the challenges of building a narrative structure on top of a sandbox, which is always going to be difficult.
Yes.
I mean, how do you combine the narrative plot-driven element of the traditional Ultimas and a sandbox MMO where people just expect to play like forever? So yeah, that's going to be fun.
It actually probably requires to just have it be ongoing so that they keep adding it here and there.
Yeah, it possibly does. But perhaps the most intriguing topic was the news that we are experimenting with a new usage-based advancement system for skills. We might see it in-game as soon as R21. Now, that would be great. Right?
Ah, okay, R21. Yeah, see, that's the thing that's exciting me, because that sounds to me like when you use a skill, it goes up, just like in Ultima Online.
Well, that's right. And intuitively, it makes a bit of sense. The more you do something, the better you should get at it.
That, to me, is true character development, like I haven't seen since Ultima Online, and that's what actually drew me to doing MMOs. You know, that whole exciting, you know, oh, my character's getting stronger, and you just got something to go for, something to shoot for. It's just so much fun.
Well, it is, that's right. And it does give you that impetus, that stimulus, to keep progressing and keep developing your character in a certain direction, because you want to get better, you want to reach that mark, and you want to be able to conquer and defeat more and more powerful foes.
That's right. And it works the same way with crafting and harvesting, and hopefully it's going to get into there where, you know, you get better at your skills the more you do it, which makes sense.
Well, it does. Yeah, that's right. Because eventually we will have people, hopefully, who have done crafting an awful lot, and they're the ones you'll go to get your weapons and your armor repaired, and they are going to do a brilliant job. They'll give it back to you better than you.
That's right, yeah, they'll add some enhancements to it or make it have more durability. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and they'll be able to make a career out of it, because they won't need to go out fighting monsters and exploring dungeons. They could get rich just by fixing up people's armor.
That's right, yeah. Their whole focus is on their skill, their craft, which, yeah, that's a whole other way of life for them. I think that's an awesome way to play, too. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. I am actually looking forward to that.
Me too.
Brilliant. Okay, and now we have... there's a 10% bonus on player-owned towns.
That was really sweet of them to add that, I would tell you.
Yeah, it was, yes. Because I believe we are thinking of upgrading.
Yeah, we are upgrading, yes.
Awesome. That is brilliant. Well done. Well done.
Yay.
So, yeah. So, and, yeah, capping overland map access. Gee. Okay.
This one's a controversial subject on the forums.
It is, yeah. It is creating quite a bit of controversy. And I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, I put my little opinion in there. But, yeah, because they mentioned, I think it gave the devs an awful shock. I think they probably thought they were going to sell about 20 player-owned towns.
Yes, they didn't realize we're all, you know, whoa, obsessed with land here.
That's right. And now they've got over 200. And their initial reaction probably was, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah, how are we going to put those all in? What do we need to do? Quadruple the map size or what?
Yeah. So, yeah, now that they've begun allocating their locations and they've decided to cap the number of player-owned towns with access rights at 230. They were at 220 when they announced the cap, and they sold the remaining 10 in less than a day.
All the people on the fence jumped over.
Yeah, that's right.
10 in less than a day. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is absolutely crazy. But, you know, there's nothing like a deadline to push people into action. That is amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. Really, it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, they say they're still making player-owned towns available that don't have access rights, but they can connect to another player-owned town that has access. So, yeah, that's interesting. It could be difficult.
Oh, I'm really, really curious how they plan to do that. What if 50 people want to connect to, say, Owl's Head? How do you... are there like 50 exits, or is it like the pop-up menu that you scroll down and choose the town you're going to, or what's the deal with that?
Oh, yeah. No, I hadn't thought of that. That could work. It could work either way, couldn't it? You could have an exit from Owl's Head. Because, yeah, they'd have to draw in another exit. And you would either go to the town next door, or, yeah, you might have a list. So, well, which town do you want to go to?
Yeah, that's... it just puts me in the frame of Lord of the Rings play our own neighborhoods, you know, where you have a big list of places you choose where to go. So I was just wondering if we're getting into that kind of gameplay.
Sure, sure. The only negative thing I think of for that is you own one of those towns. Well, if you want to leave town, then you have to go through the next town first in order to get to the overland map, in order to go anywhere. And that might get to be a bit of a pain in the butt after a while.
Yeah, unless they let you leave straight from your town to the overland map.
Okay. Which, in all honesty, you can do.
Sure.
You can, in the logout process, you can log out, go to the menu, and then from the menu you can go to the overland map. I guess that's a way of doing it.
If that's still in at launch, I don't know if that's one of those temporary kind of things.
Oh, sure. That's right. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So, if you haven't requested connection to another player-owned town, you'll be hooked up to an NPC town.
I hope it balances out. There's a lot of player-owned towns, and hopefully people can get together and connect themselves so there's not this big everyone-in-one-place type of thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And yes, they had a bit of comment and back and forth on the forum. And I will confess that I put in my humble opinion that, yeah, they probably should put a hard cap at about 250, because I think that's probably enough.
I totally agree with that, because player-owned towns are kind of supposed to be rare, you know, to a degree where not everybody has one.
Yeah, that's right. And you don't want the map to be cluttered up with towns everywhere. You want some free space to explore in the wilds and in the jungle. So, yeah, I think we've probably gone far enough. That is my 2 cents worth, for what it's worth.
I totally agree. I actually think the map should be filled with more game-developed things than player-owned town. Just me.
Yeah, okay. And look, for episode 2, I know they're going to increase the land size. There'll probably be another whole continent or something like that. And so on for 3, 4, and 5. So there is potential and space to sell more player-owned towns in the future, I imagine. But look, this little black duck thinks that we've probably got it just about enough at the moment.
I would say we have enough for the first 2 episodes, no problem.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, the devs in their wisdom will sort that out. But yeah, there are only a few more player-owned towns available. Whether they put a hard cap on or not, that's up to them. But hey, we've thrown our opinion in.
They also said they're going to add them for the to buy them with gold too. That's another thing they've got to think about.
Oh, great. Okay, fair enough. But the good news is, you want to buy a player-owned town or you want to upgrade your town, 10% store credit bonus up until the August 31st.
Yeah, that bonus is really good.
Oh, it sure is. Okay. And now we have anybody who's got a player-owned town or who's thinking of buying one or that... The Tantalus Consortium has a visual guide to the submission form, which looks really handy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's a 36-page visual guide helping to explain this submission form that town owners use to submit their design requests. So if you're a town owner and you haven't entered your town data yet, and there's still over 100 of you that haven't, wow. So there's still a lot of people out there who have to get their details in. I recommend you check out the Tantalus Visual Guide.
I was under the impression the faster you got it in, the faster they could work on your town, so I kind of rushed through getting it on.
Well, you are a hero.
Well, all but one song, and it's done, you know? Just the one song we're looking for, and we're done. Yep.
That's fantastic. I'm impressed. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see our town in Release 20, you know, and they can let us plop them down. I don't know, but we'll see.
Wouldn't it be great? It's going to be lovely to see all these little player-owned towns coming online.
I'm very excited to see them. That'll be great.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're starting it slowly as they develop a new biome. They're sort of testing that out one by one. But I reckon once they get all the biomes done, they can just start throwing them in.
Yeah, I'm curious how long it's going to take them to make all the biomes, because there's quite a few of them.
Yeah, there are. But, well, anyway, it says here, Winfield and Paxlair have done a terrific job spearheading the creation of the submission form, and the Tantalus Consortium created this compendium for use while working on submitting the forms for the player-owned towns. So that is fantastic. Look, anybody who has a player-owned town and who has to work through this form, forms can be always challenging to fill in. Here is... it's like an instruction manual for filling in the form. And that's fantastic. So visit their thread. And also, I believe they have a website. So have a look at that. And if you have any doubts, whatever, they will be put to rest.
Yeah, that's really, I was reading through that, some really good information. I didn't even think about putting on my form. Maybe I'll run through that real quick.
That'll be brilliant. Fantastic. Okay, and next, time is running out. Just another reminder, we've got the 10% summer bonus, which includes the player-owned towns now, and reward expirations that we talked about last week. If you're thinking of pledging, upgrading, purchasing, now's the time. Because there's a 10% bonus up until August the 31st. So, a good time to deplete your bank account.
The best time, that's for sure.
Absolutely. The 10% bonus will be applied to your store credit within 24 hours of your purchase. It's for pledges and player-owned town purchases, upgrades, payment plans only. Doesn't apply to add-on, stretched goal, or Make a Difference store purchases. If you've got an existing credit that's been hanging around forever, that doesn't qualify, unfortunately.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea.
No. I think I've got $13 in store credit or something. Maybe they could give me 10% on that.
Yeah, that would be like, okay, you get your 10%, then you spend your 10%, and you get 10% more. Yeah, that would be bad.
No, that would be bad. Okay. And as they said last week, a series of expiration events. So, yep. Midnight, August 31st, the Patron Pledge, the Navigator Pledge, and the Developer Pledge will be gone. You won't be able to get them anymore. Signed physical goods for Patron Pledge and above. Home and Basement Stacking, Ancestor Pledge and above. Secondary Lots for Lord Pledge and above. And Player-Owned Towns with Overland Map Access. So, yes, we went into this in a lot of detail last week, but just reminding people again, a lot of these things are going to change. A lot of things that were previously available will not be available after August 31st. They want to get things straight and get them all lined up so the game can ship.
Yep, it's important. Plus, you don't want to miss out. So if you're thinking about upgrading, now's the time to do it.
That is exactly right. And just a reassuring note, these expirations don't affect any backers that already have these rewards. If you've already got them, you get to keep them. That's only for new backers or backers who haven't upgraded before the expiration date. And if you start a payment plan, you're okay. That's great.
Yeah, so you've got till the 31st to get on that payment plan. And that's what I'm planning on doing myself.
Good on you. Okay. And we have a community-sponsored Shroud of the Avatar conference at Gen Con 2015. Brilliant.
Nice.
From a public forum post by Sestile Tekel. Lovely. And he says, did you go in 2014 and want to go again in 2015, or did you miss it? And after hearing how cool it was, you wish you'd went. No worries, I'm doing it again for 2015. So last year, he announced a player meet at Gen Con. It was a series of different meets at different places and different times, so people could enjoy the convention as well as meet players from Shroud. Now that sounds like a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, that would be awesome to have a get together like that and meet some of these people that we've been talking to. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great, you know, you sort of interact with people in the game, and it's some sort of virtual world, and you see the little avatar and you see the character and you talk to them. But how cool would it be to actually meet them in real life? And not only that, but you're going to this conference, and it's a gaming type conference, all cool stuff, and you get to actually see and talk to the people you've been playing with.
Yeah, you get to put a face to those people. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it could be a shock, you know, people seeing my ugly face, but hey, I'm sure people can survive that.
We don't look like our characters, do we?
No, sadly we don't.
In some cases, I'm glad I don't look like mine, but yeah, it depends on who you are.
Yeah, that's right. But he's got a forum post, so please read that. Anybody who's thinking of going to Gen Con, sadly I don't think I'll make it this year. But anybody who's a little bit closer than I am, who's able to get there, give it some serious thought and think about meeting up with some fellow Shroudies.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where it was. Just to give some more info. It's in Granite City. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, right. Granite City. Okay, all right. Well, that will be somewhere significant. But they're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
Okay. And we have Rise Up Gaming, which is a very worthy cause. It's the third annual Natasha Beck Charity Drive, July 17 to 27. Show your support at twitch.tv/riseupgaming. And this year, they are supporting Batten disease, which is a pretty terrible illness.
Yeah.
And Rise Up Gaming, they're the company that sponsored the Waterdog.org charity drive in May. They're starting one of the largest marathons of the year. It's raising money for the Charlotte and Gwyneth Gray Foundation to help fund research into curing Batten disease. It's a terrible disease. It usually affects children. It's genetically based, and it's just a progressive deterioration of neurological function, and there is no cure for it, and it's always terminal, and that is really tragic.
Yeah, they really need to get a cure for that one. That's terrible.
It absolutely is. There's a video here that Amber Rain put together. It's an awesome video, and it's very touching. I think everybody should have a look at that and just give it some thought. And if there's any way you can see your way to supporting this charity drive, get right into it. Because it's a very worthwhile cause, and a lot of people are suffering. So I think it's a wonderful initiative, and I wish them every success.
Yeah, good luck to that.
Okay, and moving on, we have Cold Ass Trading Card Giveaway. In conjunction with our 10% summer bonus promotion, the community member and forum moderator Cold Ass is very generously giving 28 Magic the Gathering Shield of the Avatar trading cards signed by Lord British. Fantastic.
That's awesome.
And there's a forum post there about how to qualify. So, look, I got a feeling that a lot of people will be jumping onto that.
I believe, is that the one where you just submit your proof that you did an upgrade and you're into the drawing?
I believe so. Yeah, how to qualify. You must make a qualifying purchase for the 10% bonus. Okay. So, yeah, the 10% bonus is for pledge upgrades, player in town purchases, da-da-da-da-da-da. So you have to make a qualifying purchase. Only pledges in towns, right? Fine. And then you post in this thread stating that you've pledged. You don't have to say how much you pledged. Send him a confirmation email that you get, that Portal Arum sends to you. And one entry per forum account. And he's going to use random.org to select 28 people who will win the cards. So that is great. So look, and he's going to mail the cards via first class mail to all corners of the earth. Isn't that great?
That is really a good and generous offer, that's for sure.
That is marvelous. Oh, and I love what he says at the end. Why? Why do this? Because you want to contribute to Shroud, because you want more loot from Portal Arum, because you want a chance to win one of these autographed cards. Do you really need any other reasons? Go and enjoy the 10% summer bonus.
That is definitely a good reason. Really good.
Absolutely, that is great. So look, that is a very generous offer from Koldar. Not only can you participate and support this awesome game as it should be supported, you can upgrade a pledge, you can upgrade your town, you can buy a town, whatever. Okay, fine, you get a 10% bonus on it. That's great. And just by letting Koldar know that you've done this, you could win one of these great trading cards.
Yeah, that'd be great. Great for supporting the game too.
Yeah. So big applause to Koldar for doing that. That is terrific.
Yeah.
So... now for all the kobold lovers amongst us, we have another pack of kobold masks.
Wow, are there really that many kind of kobolds in the game?
There must be. Wow. Oh, look at that. Apparently the mask was so popular, they've added more. We have a kobold tusker, a kobold elder, a kobold veteran fighter, and a kobold worker. Well, there you go. I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of kobolds in the game.
Yeah, it'll be hard to know who to attack and who not to attack, won't it?
I think we just should attack anybody who looks like a kobold.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. That way we're sure to be safe.
That's right, absolutely. but they look great. So, that's something else in the add-on store.
Yay, something else to buy and something else to contribute, so that's good.
That's right. And here we go. This is where it's going to get dangerous. We have trees.
Yay, beautiful trees.
They are lovely. And they're introducing trees and large plants as decorations in Release 20, which is launching on July 30. So look, now you can give your property a touch of natural beauty with this wide assortment of trees and plants available in the add-on store. Fantastic.
No, there's a lot of different kinds. This is great.
I know. And the tree height is measured in story units. So we have some white oak trees next to a row house. There's a one-story, a two-story, and a three-story tree.
And a four-story tree.
Yeah, fantastic. That is brilliant. And you can get a set. You get two one-stories, two two-stories, a three-story, and a four-story. Yeah, they are lovely.
Yeah, I kind of want to spread those around the town. Those are really beautiful.
Yes, now that would be a wonderful idea. I think it'd be a good opportunity to put a whisper in the dev's ears, because a lot of these trees would look really lovely decorating your streets of the town.
Yeah, I really love these. The cedar trees are gorgeous. And so are the spruces. Those are two trees perfect. Oh, they're beautiful.
Yep. And if we could have some tree-lined avenues in the streets, in the town, that would be absolutely fantastic. So if maybe the town owner had the freedom to place trees around the so-called public areas of the town, that would be just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And you could place them up and down the streets, and it would just add a real touch to the town.
Hey, anything we can do to customize the actual town is going to make all of our towns look unique, and that is very awesome.
Yep. And look, there are so many different kinds of tree. That's fantastic. We've got the oaks, the lindens, the cedars, the aspen, the spruce, the fountain palms, the cactus, the multi-branch cactus, and the broken branch cactus. Wow. Look, whatever type of tree you want, it's there.
Yeah, that's a serious quantity of different kinds of plant life, which is really cool.
It is. And look, if you happen to be living in a desert biome, as Vengeance is, you can go for the cactuses or cacti.
Yeah. Yeah, there's three different versions of them. So, yeah, you've got a really cool variety of cactus.
Absolutely. That is fantastic. And they're no doubt based on the speed trees that they were talking about a week or so ago. And it's just an awesome example of collaboration and use of assets and materials. And now they're putting them into the add-on store so that we can make the world look more beautiful.
Yeah, it almost looks like you can kind of turn them and make them look different. You know, they kind of lean different ways.
Yeah, it's great. I think that's going to be another hot seller.
Oh, yeah, it's only $5. It's not even expensive, so that's a really cool thing.
Oh, easy. Cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee, that's right.
Yeah, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can have some wonderful trees around your lot. And hopefully, up and down the town.
Yeah, hopefully, and then make your town look all the better and everything.
Fantastic. Okay, and we have weekend in-game community events. Lovely. So, a whole lot of stuff planned for the weekend. We have the recurring events, Novian Academy, the Philosophy of Order on Fridays, the R19 Unreliable Travel Guide, a collection of wonderful short stories, the Tavern Respite role-playing event, Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m., Happy Hour Wednesdays 8 p.m., Vengeance Madness Fridays at 7 p.m., The Daily Breakfast Club, 12 a.m., 6 a.m., and 3 p.m., so that people can gather from different time zones at Wordy's Pub. Phoenix Republic Open Mic Night on Thursdays at 7. Beach Party by the BMC and the Challenge Dungeon Run at Fridays.
Yeah, very cool.
And then Saturday, Paxley Working Hours, Church of the Dark Star, Saturday service. An archaeology event with Gregor at 12:30, 6 p.m. Vengeance 1 versus 1 tournament. That's the longest running player versus player tournament in Shroud of the Avatar in the City of Vengeance. One day I might even get brave enough to go to one.
Yeah, I've been playing chicken myself.
Yeah, chicken's much safer.
Yeah, it is much safer. I stay alive a lot better.
Yeah, that's for sure. And at 7 p.m., there's the Batten's Diseased Fundraiser Block Party. So join the citizens of Port Phoenix as we dance, party, fight, race, and partake in any number of random events this Saturday as we celebrate and help raise awareness and funds for this Natasha Beck Batten's Disease Charity. Prizes will be given away courtesy of Who's Gaming Now. And that's at Port Phoenix, so that is well worth doing.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Absolutely. And Sunday we have Explore Novia at 6:30, Phoenix Republic Town Hall at 10, 2 p.m. CST Hangout of the Avatars, and 3 p.m. Gust Ball, 5 p.m. there's a BMC Gridiron Feast and registration, and Gladiators Gridiron at 5:30, a Pax Lair meeting, and fishing with Winfield at 8 o'clock. We are going to get actual fishing in eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's scheduled for release 21, so I'm hoping that doesn't get bumped.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to be able to hang a rod off the back of my boat.
Yes, I know. I'm hoping we can fish in our town, but that's a whole other project.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes, okay. It would be.
Yep. Okay, upcoming events, they're going to the Classic Game Fest. We have release 20, end of July, release 21, end of August. They're going to SyndCon, they're going to DragonCon, release 22 in September, release 23 in October, and it's getting close.
We're getting there, yes.
Absolutely. And look, they are still looking for extra staff. I really hope they find them, because it's going to help the game along. I want a world builder and level designer and a VFX artist. So anybody who thinks they have qualifications or knows somebody, please give them a call. And finally, in the category recommended games to back, they're mentioning Crowfall. In this Throne War simulator, characters are persistent, but the campaign worlds are not, thanks to voxel technology. Wow, okay. Whatever that is. Which enables fully destructible settings. A seamless blend of an MMO with a large-scale strategy game, players are immortal champions, traveling between realms to fight in an eternal war of the gods. That's also a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the whole idea of destructible terrain. I think that would be really cool in any game.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Oh, well. Okay. So, there we go. That is the news of the week.
Well, a lot of good news again, so that's good stuff. Always something new to buy on the add-on store lately, so that's also good news, because I love buying stuff.
Absolutely is. Yes, I'll have to get into that myself. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's really, especially with these pledge upgrades, it's really hard for me not to just go crazy, because, man, these rewards are just so awesome. So it's, you know, it's really hard to just say, oh no, it's going to be gone. So you want to try to take advantage of it.
Well, that's right. And not only that, I mean, not only the goodies that you get and the rewards, this is helping the development of this game that's giving us so much fun and so much pleasure. And it's worth it for that alone.
That's right, yeah. Just helping to make this game all the better. Right there is a huge reward, even if you don't see anything.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's how I think of it. But I notice the numbers are ticking up really encouragingly, so that's looking great. We're going to be at 7 million before we know it.
I bet you we hit 7 million before the end of the year.
I think you'd be right.
And that is awesome.
It is awesome. It says a lot about the community and about the people who have the faith to support this bold adventure. But I think the faith is being repaid many times over.
Oh, yes, we get a lot more for our money than most things you go out and buy. In this particular game, you not only get a wonderful game, you have a wonderful community and a bunch of wonderful devs that stay in touch with you and tell you what's going on, and you can even talk to them. There's just so much awesomeness about this whole project.
Yeah, that's right. I have never known a community like this one. It is just amazing. And I just feel a privilege to be part of it. It is great.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely an honor to be part of this community and just to be involved and be able to throw your opinion out there. And, you know, no one really treats you bad. You know, everyone says, yeah, good idea, bad idea, whatever. It's really a pleasurable community to work with, especially compared to some games, you know?
For sure. for sure. And I say, long may it continue. And I'm just hoping for the day when we move into Alpha and then Beta, and then it's going to be the big launch.
Yeah, I am actually planning on taking some time off of work when we actually do launch. I'm really excited.
Well, you have to put the important things first, don't you?
Well, yeah, I think I'm due for a break, and I'm definitely ready to focus on getting my... Mostly, I got lots of stuff to get set up when I finally am in the game for real. It's like everything you do is going to be permanent, so that's all the more motivation to decorate the houses and things like that.
Well, that's right. And you sort of have to think twice. I mean, at the moment, it doesn't really matter. You just throw a few things around the house and, that's all right. It's all going to be wiped anyway. But yeah, if it's going to be permanent, you'd like to take a bit of time and do it properly.
Yeah, you might actually put matching furniture in the rooms and things like that rather than just grabbing any junk you find, you know?
Well, that's right, yes. And I think you'll find people will be doing that. They'll take a little bit of time and care, and we're going to see some pretty nice houses and yards and developments.
Oh yeah, even in the practice stages, some of these houses you see is like, wow, just how much work they put into them. They're gorgeous.
Oh, I know. It blows my mind when I see how much work people put into their houses, into their mazes, into the challenges. I mentioned last week the Avatars Radio event that I think is on next weekend. How much work goes into all of these things? It's just mind-blowing.
And they're just doing it for the love of the game because they know it's going to be wiped. So it's like, wow. And it's just so perfect, too, the way they set these things up, especially the fields where they're playing the gust ball and all that. It's just gorgeous the way they set that stuff up.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I noticed there was a post in the forum this week that makes me think the mazes aren't going away permanently. The 4B people, they're sponsoring a bit of a contest. So the idea of it is, if you're a town owner or a town group as a corporation, you can put an application in. You can basically do what you like. You can write a song, you can write a poem, you can write a story, whatever, make it funny, but featuring the 4B and the mazes and stuff like that. So the winner gets to host a maze for the first month when the game is fully and finally launched.
Wow, that sounds like a big honor.
It absolutely is. I mean, you have to have a village lot available that you're prepared to let them use for a month. They'll come into your town, they will set it up, and for the first month of the game, you are the host of this maze. And then they'll move on to another town. So I think that sounds like a brilliant idea.
Well, plus it gives your town publicity, and all the vendors in your town are going to be, have some traffic. So that all sounds like a win-win to me.
Absolutely, it does. So I can see a few people scratching their heads and wanting to get into that.
Yeah, the next kind of a disadvantage for me, I don't do a whole lot of writing or anything. So good luck to everybody that gets involved in that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but as you say, they are prepared to do this, and they will come in, they will build it, and be in your town for a month, and then in a month's time, they'll move on to somewhere else, so they have to do it all again.
Well, the bright side is there's plenty of towns, so they can keep doing this for years.
Yeah, well, they can. Don't know whether they'll use the same maze or try and build a new one every time. But it just shows the creativity and the awesomeness of the community.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable, the stuff they come up with every single week. They come up with great ideas, and it just keeps the game so much fun.
Absolutely, they do. All righty. Well, I think we must have just about come to the end. So have a wonderful week in the game, everybody. And
sure.
Don't catch the plague and don't kill yourselves too much.
Yeah, don't let those horrible zombies corner you like that and kill you. Yeah, they're bad.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I guess on top of everything else, we want to get going and play the game. So I guess I'll take us out so we can start having fun on the game. And the awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for his technical work on the newscast and the website. And please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. So please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. And also, thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the news on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Balgrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.